Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church, to our Asbury family and to all of our friends that are joining us online. Thank you for being with us today. I hope this worship service is a blessing to you and that through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, it guides you and propels you into the coming week. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here at Asbury, and we are excited to be in the second week of our Reunited and Reignited series. We are looking to challenge ourselves about where God is calling us today in the mission and ministries of Asbury. Pastor Didi is going to bring a powerful message today, looking at Matthew 28:18, and talk about where authority really comes from. So I hope you look forward to that. Once again, we're thankful to be with you, and we hope that through the music and the scripture and the message, you are moved. As we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, please join me in a quick word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you for this opportunity to gather as your children in this community. God, we ask that you are with us today, that through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you move us, guide us, and change us into the true image of God that you call us to be. So once again, God, we give all thanks to you for your glory, for your power, for your majesty, and for your love. It's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
He's got the whole world
in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
He's got the whole world.
Will you join me now in a word of prayer? Loving God, we give you thanks for a Lord and Savior who has walked this earth and now stands as Lord over it all. We admit to you that in our finite minds and our limited understanding, we still do not fully grasp what it means for Jesus to be the Lord of all heaven and all earth. But we know this much. We know that though our desires are always to serve him with purity, we too are a sinful people. We confess to you our need to be forgiven. We pray to you that on the times when we bring darkness instead of light, that you would light our lamps, draw our attention to what we are capable of doing, and empower us to serve the church and the world which you so love. Thank you, O God, for the calling on our lives to be disciples who make disciples. Make us ever more aware of the ways in which you have gifted our fellowship to be healers with those who are ill, to order the chaos of some people's lives, to bring the word and exhort others beyond their fear, beyond their lostness, to invite them to come home to you and to our Christian fellowship. We praise you for those who continue to work behind the scenes every week to make our worship possible. Not only staff, but we praise you and thank you for the ministries of Tom Evans and the ministry of those who pray for us each week, for all those who send us ideas and encourage us with their good words. Help all of that, O God, to draw us closer in our bonds of love and strengthen our fellowship even when we are not able together in person. As always today, O God, we pray to be the kind of people who want what you wish to bless, who pray for those who have no one else to pray for them, and to make space for the least, the last, and the lost. For surely we are the people who have faith enough, resources aplenty, a facility that is glorious, and a Lord who has authority in our lives and indeed in heaven and earth. It is in his name that we pray and offer the prayer of all disciples everywhere. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Indeed. Amen. So be it.
Praise the Father. In the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, until the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint, by His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am.
Sabbath blessings, my dear friends. You may be wondering where this sermon was recorded this week. It's on the front porch of my home in Conway, Arkansas. As you know, we had a bit of a scare when one of our staff members was exposed to a known case of COVID-19. I'm happy to report that since then, that staff member and their entire family has tested negative for the virus. So we will be resuming our office hours on Monday morning from 10 to 3, Monday through Thursday. You might also note that on any given day, we've attempted to keep the numbers of our staff to 2 or less so that we can really remain socially distanced and keep all of us and all of you safe. If you have need of a staff member on off office hours, or on a day when one of us is not in the staff in the church office, Pastor Nick and I have our numbers listed on the church website, as well as on the Five Things email that all of you receive each week. Please do not hesitate to call us. I guarantee you that when we are home, we are working and praying on behalf of Asbury United Methodist Church. If you do hear some road noise as people drive by, or the children who live next door playing in their yard, I hope you'll listen past that and take it all as a sign of God's good creation and the life in which we all get to partake. Now I'd like to share with you a passage of scripture from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, maybe you've seen the t-shirt. It says, "I'm not bossy. I'm exercising my leadership skills." I have to admit that I bought one of those for our 6-year-old granddaughter, Emma. You probably know why. But truth be told, I think I really bought it for my 8-year-old self. You see, I was a little girl who was often told to stop being bossy when all I was trying to do was help people. I wanted everyone to get along, and I was sure that I knew exactly what that would take. So today, we meet our Savior Jesus, the crucified and risen one, telling his disciples all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. In other words, I'm not being bossy. I am the boss. I am the boss of heaven. I'm the boss of earth. I'm the boss of people. I'm the boss of the whole cosmos. But what kind of boss is Jesus? And what does that have to do with you and me? Well, as Brother Nick said last week, we decided to take a fresh look at the Great Commission to refresh our commitment to Christ as we prepare to re-enter our building, and hopefully to reignite our passion for mission and ministry as we face a new time and a new day in our calling. Everything is different than it was 5 months ago. We've learned new words that challenge our basic understanding of what it means to be the church. Words like social distancing, quarantine, and herd immunity really challenge our notions of the church and Christian fellowship. In addition, we've been challenged by events like the killing of George Floyd to reconsider some of our bedrock understandings of community and justice at a time when we are isolated in our homes and mostly caught in our homogeneous microcosms of friends and family. And if these weren't enough, the virus itself has brought the truth of our vulnerability and mortality into our very living rooms. As the numbers of cases are reported and growing each day, along with the death count. In many ways, it seems as if we have fallen through a looking glass, and like Alice, we wonder at times about this strange and confusing world in which we find ourselves. These are not easy times to be the church. They're not easy times to be people. There are no easy answers or no quick fixes to what we are experiencing. Instead, in these times, when we hope for and look for and pray for deliverance and relief and understanding, these are the times when Jesus' declaration that all authority in earth and on heaven have been granted to me is a truth to hold on to tie a knot with in our proverbial ropes so that we can go forward each day. Last week, Brother Nick talked about the Christ hymn in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. He pointed out that the Apostle Paul lifts up the Christ because Christ came down to earth. John 1 echoes this idea when the gospel writer says that the Word, through which all creation was called into being, that very Word came and dwelt among us. But wait, there's even more to this story. Jesus' authority comes not just because he was God in human flesh, but because he chose to be God in human flesh, who lived a life of humanity and took on the sin and suffering of all people. Jesus Christ chose to carry in his own body all the sin and suffering of humanity. and he carried it right on to the cross as he lay there and died. Therefore, says Paul, Jesus is also highly exalted, and his name is above every name. He is Lord. He is authority in all the earth and all heaven. It is important for us to understand how Jesus came to be the boss of everything, the one who has all authority. For you see, our Christ made real in his choice to be human, in his choice to die, in his choice to enter the tomb, and in his resurrection, Jesus brought forgiveness of sin into the world. His resurrection brought the end of the power of death and evil. His resurrection sealed the deal. Jesus is in charge. Now, I happen to think that this is the single most important affirmation the church can make, especially in times like these when the world seems so messed up and things seem so dark. Neither the mess nor the darkness can overcome what God has done through Jesus Christ our Lord. As the hymn says, Christ is alive. Let Christians sing. And this, my friends, is our call to ministry. Every time the church confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, we sing. Every time we bow our knees or our heads for prayer, we sing. And whenever we agree that Jesus was also speaking to us on that mountain, the day he declared his authority and then sent the disciples into the world to make disciples, we sing. The challenge, I think, is to sing so that the whole world hears. And even more than hearing, to sing in such a way that the world catches on to the tune and decides to sing with us. As a church family, we have been asking ourselves this question for quite a while, though we may have been using different words. We have wondered how to reach new people for Christ. We've been willing to try new ministries for the sake of outreach and bringing people into the fellowship. And we have celebrated that the gift of the pandemic is that we've learned how to use some tools that we would never have learned to use before. Social media, online outreach, and worship. And it's making a difference in many people's lives. But we are approaching a day when we will gather again in our own beloved building. Oh, what a day that will be when we can enjoy the beauty of our sacred spaces and have all the resources of our great facilities at our fingertips for the sake of our ministry, for the sake of being disciples who make disciples. But what will we do then? How will we choose to fulfill the Great Commission when we settle back inside the walls of our church? Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In short, I think that means that there is no person or place beyond the reach of Christ's love and forgiveness. There is no place too dark for disciple making. There is no person too far gone to be invited into a life-saving relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe, my friends, that we are disciples who are being sent to make disciples. The great fun of this, the great challenge of this, yes, even the great test of this, is how will we do this in a new day, in a new context, for people who have been so rattled and upset and had their world turned upside down by the power of pandemic and the truth of racial inequity and the hardship of living with our mortality. Indeed, there are no easy answers to this. But I'll tell you this. I believe down to the depth of my toes that God has placed within us enough of the Holy Spirit that we at Asbury United Methodist Church will be able to articulate some of the ways we see ourselves in ministry going forward. We are a people willing to let go of some of the sacred cows of the past for the sake of the present and even the future. We are a people willing to listen to one another across generations, across the limits of how long or how short we've been members of the church. We are a people of open minds, of open hearts, and of open doors. Yes, my friends, I believe that Asbury represents the very best of what United Methodist Christianity is all about. And I would invite you, over the course of this week, to bow your knees or your head and pray with me about what it is that God wants us to do now. Now, when it's been brought home to us that the church does not exist within the walls of the building. In fact, the church can be reached mysteriously by a network that spans the globe, and that there is nothing too great for our Lord, who has authority in heaven and earth to do through us. In the name of Christ, amen.
Friends, please join me in reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I will rise.
Well, friends, once again, I want to thank you for being with us today. It's been a beautiful time of worship, and we've enjoyed interacting with you and seeing you online. It's always something that brings us great joy that we are able to gather virtually and spend this time in worship together. We look forward to the day where we will see you once again in our building. But until then, it is amazing the way that God continues to bless us through this virtual space. Take a moment, if you will, and freshen up your coffee. Maybe grab a donut, and then gather back here in a little bit at 11 o'clock as we begin our new virtual Bible study looking at the book of Revelation. I'm excited to look at that with you today. We will discuss chapter 1 and talk a little bit about what apocalyptic literature is, what it means, and what this book means for us as a people of God. As we part from this place today, receive this blessing. Serve your God with patience and with passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the spirit that lives within you. And may peace be your way in the world. May God bless you this week. We miss you. We love you. Go in peace. Goodbye.